the Eve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 283 in the series. This session of the radio show shares my conversation with Franklin teachers Nick Goldman and Paul O'Donoghue. We had our conversation via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. We talk about how their teaching experience and schedule has changed during this pandemic period. We also talk about their plans for the fundraising effort for the Franklin Food Pantry. They will run a marathon on June 13 here in Franklin, and the community can assist in three ways: by donating and picking a mile slot to run with either Nick or Paul, by cheering them on along the three-mile loop course through Franklin, or by donating directly to the food pantry. Links to the webpage with additional info on the course, to sign up, or to donate are included in the show notes. The recording runs around 20 minutes, so let's listen to my conversation with Nick and Paul.
This is Steve Sherlock for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM on the internet, and 102.9 on the Franklin radio dial in and around the Franklin area. Today, in this session, we're with Nick Goldman and Paul O'Donoghue, who are going to talk to us about a new venture they're starting for June 13th and a food pantry marathon. Gentlemen, good morning and welcome.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having us.
Morning, Steve. Yeah, great to be here.
So, Nick, why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself? It looks like you're certainly with Horace Mann Middle School, and you coach soccer?
Yeah, that's correct. So, this is actually my eighth year teaching in Franklin. My second year at Horace Mann. Before that, I was at the Oak Street Elementary School. And before that, my first 2 years in Franklin, I bounced around and taught elementary PE at Oak Street, Keller, Davis, Thayer, and Jefferson. So I've got a good feel for the town. And I also coach the boys JV soccer team at the high school, as well as a couple club soccer teams through Franklin Soccer Club in town as well.
Indeed. So soccer is a big thing besides running.
Yeah, my soccer days are over besides coaching. So that's kind of how I've transitioned into running for myself.
Okay. That's good. And I think while you were there, you may have run into my wife. She was a kindergarten teacher at Oak Street for many years.
I did. I worked very closely with Mrs. Sherlock. She was a great kindergarten teacher.
Yeah. She had been subbing periodically and volunteering once a day until this happened. So she's missing a little bit.
I always saw her in there, even though she had already retired. She still kept coming back.
Well, you know, you develop this thing for the kids, and you can't get away from them, right?
Yeah.
And Paul, a little bit more about you. You're a math teacher at the high school?
Yeah, so I'm in my third year currently. I'm actually a Franklin High School graduate of 2012. So I went to the old Franklin High School building and went off to college, came back, and I was actually a math major, ended up getting my education degree in my year after college at Bridgewater State. And I was lucky enough to student teach at Franklin, and then they had an open math position, and I was lucky enough to get hired there. So currently my third year, and I ran Division I track in college, and still running, you know, not professionally or anything, but at a, you know, at an amateur level. And, you know, once I have a good feel for my schedule teaching, I'm ready to jump into coaching too. So haven't taken as much a dive as Nick has yet, you know, in the sports that the town has to offer, but looking forward to getting out there and coaching track pretty soon. So Nick and I kind of have two different, I guess, backgrounds coming into this. But at this point, you know, during this pandemic, we're both looking to get out there and run and enjoy the sport a little more and do something for the town that, you know, we can all kind of be proud of.
Certainly, we'll get into a little bit more of that. So certainly in the pandemic and both teaching, that certainly has affected your schedules. And math, probably you can do a little bit more on the Zoom side than Nick can with his phys ed and health education. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, so it's, you know, when we got the word that school was canceled, at first we thought it was going to be a couple weeks. So we were sort of in Band-Aid mode of trying to, you know, figure out how we could sort of keep the learning alive, but, you know, also be conscious of what families and students might be going through. And then you know, eventually the weeks just kept getting pushed longer and longer until the school year was officially canceled. So, you know, honestly, it's been tough. You know, we got thrown into this, like, you know, we hadn't done remote learning before. This is brand new for teachers and students. So it seemed like we were all on the same, you know, bridge trying to balance this new world that we're in. And I think slowly we figured it out, and now we have like 2 weeks left in the school year. So it's like all the work we've done is now leading us into the summer, you know, and a big question mark heading into next year. So I've definitely been able to find, I think, a good routine. I've sort of fallen back on like the less is more attitude at this point, because I think, you know, I don't really know the home circumstances of all my students. So I'm hoping to at least keep math in their brains, but also try some new things, you know, while they're at home. So, you know, admittedly it's been challenging, but I think a good experience for all of us to try to figure out how this might work in case it extends longer into the future.
Yeah, we don't know what September is going to bring. And from a health perspective, certainly this is a timely topic in terms of health, Nick. So, but how you're normally having group meetings. How are you doing this now?
Yeah, that's right. It definitely is an important issue right now in terms of the health aspect. So I completely agree with Paul that I've kind of taken the approach of like, less is more as long as it's at that high quality. So we've been focusing on all the different components that go into wellness in our class. So besides just the physical, which everyone thinks of, the social, emotional, intellectual, environmental, community. And so I've been working with the students on just tracking what they're doing to hit each of those components. And like Paul said as well, it's like we're kind of not necessarily figuring it out as we go, but we'll try this and see how it works and try this and see how that works. And I think all that has kind of like led us to where we are with trying to do this marathon. Who knows? We've never done anything like it before, but I think it's a great way to sort of combine the community, get a social aspect, which I know Paul and I have talked about. We're missing, like, I'm kind of through the virtual things and like this idea that we have sort of to run with other people or a person at a time safely, but get a lot of people involved, do something for the community. And obviously get that like physical aspect is a big part of it too, if we're going to run 26 miles. So I think that the assignment that I've given the kids, even though it's not PE and I miss being at school a lot, has really kind of been helpful for me to kind of look back and say, what am I doing now to make sure I'm hitting all of these things while we're going through this completely unprecedented time?
Absolutely. And I think to the extent that you are indeed acknowledging, figuring it out as you go, that in itself reinforces the good parts of learning anyway, because you have to learn, and failure is great as long as you get up, right? Failure is a dead end when you never get up. But as long as you continue to get up and tweak it and do this and do that, then that's learning. There's nothing wrong with that. The event itself, June 13th, let's get into that a little bit. So you've got a loop course from what I've read so far, and how are people going to truly get involved in that? Clearly not somebody could potentially run all 26, but you want them to run, you know, smaller chunks.
Yeah. So Paul, you want to talk about the loop since you're the architect of that, course.
I'm a geography enthusiast at heart. So designing the course was, something I was really looking forward to. And we basically thought that being in the center of town would be a good opportunity. You know, it's a good central location. There's a lot of different places to park. And, we knew we wanted to make it easy for people to, you know, be in one place and then sort of exit the course and also be easy to spectate. So I mapped out a couple loops, and we basically just ended up on this course that starts at like the Horace Mann High School campus, goes down Panther Way, up 140, and then through downtown and past the Common. So we're sort of hitting all the, we're hitting some major areas of Franklin, and we got, you know, the mile markers at 1, 2, and 3 are at good central, you know, locations. It's gonna be easy for people to identify. So Nick was actually able to get out there and run the course in both directions and sort of decide which one he liked better. So Nick can speak a little bit about sort of what it's going to be actually like to run on those roads a little bit.
Yeah, and so our plan was to try and get as many people involved. So the idea that we're going for right now is to have people join us for a mile. So they'll jump in for mile one, run a mile, jump out at mile two. And then again, like Paul said, at least they are a mile away from where they started, but they're in some sort of central location. And
sure.
And the way that Paul mapped out the course works really well. If we start right at the Horace Mann parking lot, right as we get to the corner of Panther Way and 140 by the CVS and the car dealership is mile one. As soon as we run right by the, we'll run straight up past Davis Thayer. And as soon as we get to the corner right past the food pantry, actually, is mile two. And then from there, we'll run through Dean or past Dean through the common around. We have to just loop into the parking lot again to get it to exactly 3 miles. And then we're back at Horace Mann for 3 miles. So do that 8.5, 9 times and call it a day.
All of a sudden, the miles add up. A little, one by one, the miles add up.
That's the plan, yeah.
So we'll certainly include in the show notes the link to the website and the Get Involved tab in the menu on the top. Looks like you've got a sign-up sheet. You've got a Google form so people can pick particular miles or particular spots to run with either of you.
Yeah, correct. So we have on there sort of as our sign-up sheet a Google form, and it just asks for the basic info. If you had class with Paul or if I coached you and you'd prefer to run with one of us, you can indicate that. If you would prefer, and a lot of people have already preferred to grab the first couple miles to start us off, and some people have already tried to claim the last couple miles to run us in. So
okay.
If you have a specific mile in mind or a specific like set of miles, if you know you want to start at the high school or if you know you want to end at the common, you can choose your mile according to that.
Right.
And then we'll do our best to keep that sign-up sheet updated so people can see who's running at what time, what's available. If they see another teacher that's running and they want to run with them or go out and watch Paul run with another teacher from the high school or watch me run with another PE teacher in town, then they can sort of see who's running about what time, and we can kind of keep it a live tracking of that as we prepare for it.
Right. And I think on the website you've acknowledged you've coordinated with the Franklin Police in terms of their guidance on the course and logistics and the safety aspects of it, both, you know, in terms of keeping the social distance for, you know, spectators, et cetera, but you have been getting guidance appropriately for this as well.
Yeah, I actually work with Courtney Riley, one of the math teachers at Franklin, and she's, her husband is Jason Riley, who's a member of the Franklin Police Department. So through Courtney, I was sort of able to run this idea through Jason, and he put me in touch with Chris Spillane, who I think is the head of the safety division for the Franklin Police Department. And I actually know Chris through school, and Chris was the varsity hockey coach for a long
Correct.
Time. And so he basically said, we're not, you know, doing anything against the law, but just to sort of, you know, practice that good social distancing, make sure we're, you know, following town and state guidelines as much as we can. And he sort of gave me some tips on the course itself and just, you know, gathering in groups of people. So they've been really helpful. We wanted to make sure we sort of checked any of those boxes before we really jumped into this to make sure that, people felt comfortable either jumping in and running with us or even just spectating along the course and then, you know, ultimately donating too. There's really three different ways that people can, get in on this with us.
Yep. And in thinking certainly to the loop sense of what you've got, you're going to be going by the parking lot at least each loop, so I assume that's going to be your base, your water stops, you know, some of your transition points as well.
Yeah, for sure. I think I'll definitely have like a table set up with, you know, plenty of water, and I'm planning on this will be a 3.5 hour run at least, and I've never actually run that far before. Nick has a couple marathons under his belt, but this will be the first time going that distance for me. So I'm definitely going to, you know, have some gels out there and just sort of keep myself hydrated and fueled as we go. So Nick's definitely got me in the experience standpoint on this. So, I'm kind of interested to see how we both feel after it. It'll be fun to kind of go through this together.
Yeah, no, Paul, you said it. That's the plan. I think it's a nice little advantage that we can sort of have that home base, put things, you don't have to carry things. So the first time I did a marathon, my pockets were swinging full of gels and I was trying to carry as much water as I could. So it'll be nice to have a little home base with a little table or something set up. And I think that will be a nice thing that we can both look forward to. Yeah.
Good. Cause I did attempt one marathon way back in my younger days. And coincidentally, it was also a loop course down in Newport with the Newport Marathon. I had run half marathons at least twice. I had actually, for a number of years, had also run a mile for the year on my birthday. So I was actually over at the time in the distance. And the one problem I had that day was that I just got swept up in the crowd and just started out way too fast. You're not going to have that problem because it's just going to be a couple of you. So maintain the pace and you'll be fine.
Yeah, hopefully that would be a great problem to have if we can get that many people out there that happens to us. But I don't know if we'll have that exact same problem.
No. There were a couple of thousand, I think, back in that day. And it was just, I just got swept up in the emotion and just my legs cramped up so bad. I just had to kind of like lift them one at a time to the curb to get out of the way of the folks. It just, I could never finish it. But
it kind of takes some of the pressure off because I was planning to run my first marathon this spring. And so I was going into full training mode and prepared to basically run as hard as I could for 26 miles. So to sort of put together this little community marathon and, you know, plan to run with people that, you know, make the pace comfortable for them so they feel comfortable running.
Yes.
It's actually going to make the experience pretty enjoyable where it's just, you know, get out, run the distance, have that experience, but there's really no pressure to sort of perform. You know, we can just sort of put the pressure on to build it up, get a lot of donations and just make sure that, you know, it's something for the community, something for us to get people together and, you know, have something to look forward to on the calendar, which is something we haven't really, you know, had a chance to do a lot these days.
Yeah, and I think picking an early morning, certainly New England weather can be, well, we're 80s degree now, so who knows? It may snow June 3rd, June 13th, who knows? But that's New England. But at least they're picking it an early morning, so it should be a little bit cooler, even if it's going to be hot, you'll be done before the heat of the day. So that was a good choice, too. So the website will certainly help with some of the social media as we prepare this, put it on the radio. The podcast will be available. Obviously the donations to the food pantry, other than contributing to runs specifically, there's a donation link as well. Anything else we need to add at this point? I think we've covered a good bunch of this.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. And again, like Paul said, this can be great in a lot of ways. And I think, it's been great to work with the food pantry already in setting this up. And I know now that they've said that they've seen something like 80 new families over the past month and a half or since this pandemic has started. So I know they do a lot of good stuff and I know there are a lot of other great events that work with the pantry, but they're just doing so much. And now more than ever, we thought that this would be a great thing to do and sort of do something for the community, give back to the community. And we're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, Nick originally came to me with the idea and I was kind of, I didn't really hesitate. I was sort of all in. And when we were trying to figure out sort of where to raise this money, like, you know, what charity we wanted to sort of benefit, the food pantry sort of became an easy option at first. You know, it's a Franklin, Franklin organization that a lot of people are familiar with. A lot of high school students get involved with volunteering. And, and when we reached out and found out that they had that much of a need, it was sort of a no-brainer. So, we, you know, have a goal to raise $2,500, which is sort of an arbitrary number. I think at first we thought try to raise $2,020 for the year, and then we thought why not make it $2,500? But you know, that's sort of a benchmark, and we're hoping to blow past that. So, like Nick said, we have a lot of different ways that people can be a part of this. So whatever sort of people are comfortable with doing, you know, we hope to have an option there. And like Nick said, it would be a good problem to have if a lot of people want to be out on the course and we find ourselves running a little too fast. I'd be okay with that.
Indeed. Good. Well, thank you for taking time out of your day today to talk about this. And I'm sure we'll be in touch as June 13th gets closer. best of luck on that day, of course, and perhaps we'll meet at the finish line and do something else audio-wise, or at least schedule something audio-wise so we can bring back an update to the community as well. So thank you on behalf of the community for trying this and for the food pantry, because clearly, as you've mentioned, they will need it. But we're in this together, and I think that'll be a good event for people to participate so that they'll feel good about this as well.
Thank you very much, Steve. Really appreciate you having us on and being able to talk about our event.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. This was great. Really appreciate it.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements, and I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. You can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.